12 minutes past 12. It is Holiday Brew with James Ross through until 2. And we're going to do what we do on a Tuesday lunchtime, and that is look into the future with our business futurist, Maurice Mizalowski, who is on the line with us now. Maurice, how are you, sir?
I am excellent, James. And happy Tuesday, everyone.
Thank you. Yes, we're enjoying our day off, our holiday here in Hong Kong. And you guys in Melbourne are probably slaving away.
I don't know about slaving away, but yeah. Had our fair share of holidays. We had one the other week for football, as you do.
Indeed, indeed, sir. Well, we do look to the future with you every week, and often we're talking about tech, but this week, why don't we talk about the future of independent thought? You know, this came to mind because so much of our world seems to revolve around social media now, and so much of it seems to revolve around what other people think. And we seem to be influenced ever so much now by what is on social media. So I guess let's gaze into our crystal ball, Maurice. You know, where do we go from here? Are we one amorphous person now rather than 8 billion separate souls?
I think we're a bit of both, is the reality of it. I'm not sure that the world has changed all that much. I think what we're responding to has. I've had this theory forever and ever. It literally is one of the bedrocks that I base my whole thinking on, and that is that very few of us, this sounds very, you know, very strict and earnest, but very few of us have a great deal of independent thought. And that's not negative. It's just the way that we are as human beings, because we will always look, or most of us will always look to somebody or something for guidance, for some kind of cultural normality to understand the world through. It's often been a religious base. It can be a political base. It could be an elder that we have in our society. But we've often looked to somebody further down the track to ask them about the world and to interpret the world through the way they see it. Social media, to me, is the newest incarnation of that, and it's certainly changed that landscape too, but it's the human need for responsible thinking, as we might think, or cultural thinking, or to understand the context of the world.
We kind of almost want confidence. We want reassurance, don't we, from the folks around us, or maybe social media, but folks around us in those groups that you just described, that we're doing the right thing.
Well, it is. And the right thing's a really difficult thing to know too, because it's very subjective. What the right thing is in one area or one geography or one group of family or one religion is completely different from what another one of those sets may be. So what we're looking for is the things that I think, meaning, you know, us as individuals, the things that I think are important. Who do I believe has the best context, the best understanding? Who should I base my thinking on and around? And that's what we look for most often. And this media thing has really just amplified it, because I would guess that before radio, before television, you know, going back 100 years or so ago, our thoughts were set, and they were set very much, I guess, for almost life, because they came from pulpit or they came from politics or somewhere else, and those things didn't change very much. And we as individuals didn't change our thinking very much, because we didn't have this constant barrage of social media. Many of us didn't read newspapers. We definitely didn't watch television or radio. So our thoughts were set, and they were set for for most of our lives. Now we change them second by second, and I think, to me, that's the bigger problem.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose newspapers were an early form of social media, and I suppose, you know, this is, you know, the power of newspaper owners in the past, 50 or 60 years has been that they can write the story, we can read it, and then we can believe it, and, you know, that becomes our social media that we're looking to, right?
Well, it does, and it has. It always has. You know, for those that could read, they certainly then took advantage of newspapers. For those that couldn't, they would often find somebody who could, and they would, you know, sit around them and listen to the newspaper being told to them. We had travellers, literally people that for hundreds of years travelled from one town to another and spread story. I mean, that was their, they were really like a moving newspaper or a moving billboard, and the towns would wait for them to come with news from 100 kilometres away or further away to understand what was happening. So those things have always been constant.
I mean, I guess it now we look forward and we kind of go, well, okay, here we are with this slate of social media, if you like. Where does it go from here? You know, are we going to see some future development which leads our thought?
And this worries me. I mean, it really does worry me, because what I described before was the way that we've understood the world, the way the world's been for a long time. One consistent thought for most of our lives with a consistent set of inputs, whatever that was, whatever we chose that to be, good or bad. But what we have now are literally second by second changes. We're hearing about them immediately. We're inundated. We're almost drowning in other people's opinions. And one of the only ways I think that we as humans can cope is to filter out a lot of it, is really just to make our mind up about who do we follow, what do we believe. And this is the thing that does concern me. We seem to be becoming more single-minded. We seem to be becoming more dogged. There seems to be, at the moment, this response that there is only one right way in the world. And, of course, there isn't one universal one. We just think that for ourselves, and everybody else is not as right as we are. And a lot of the world now is, I believe, fractured because of this constant search for the silver bullet, for the right thing, for the right word.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. We seem to be more polarized, and that does seem to be partly because of the quote-unquote algorithm. Social media tends to drive us in one particular direction towards people that perhaps are of the same view, and maybe that's what's polarizing us even more than it was before.
I absolutely do think that's what it is. Before, what we found was a generic group. So even though they may not have thought like Morris or James, they were close enough. You know, they were close enough that we felt a kindred with them, and we didn't bother looking for somebody who was closer. Today, literally, if we enjoy playing cards and we enjoy a red deck of cards and we enjoy a cup of coffee or whatever else, we can actually find somebody who has all of those same subsets, and we can talk to just them about red playing cards and a cup of coffee and something else and nothing else about the world. So we're not, if we choose not to, we're not really being forced or challenged to think any wider, because we will find enough people like us who will just say the same thing as we've said over and over again and amplify our thoughts, maybe not stretch them, maybe not add new findings or new possibilities into that. That's a good and a bad thing. But I do sense that's the way it is. And now with AI, we had to bring that into the conversation, with this two-letter thing, this AI, I believe it's even worse. Because AI now tells us we're so wonderful and terrific and right, because the first thing it says, if you don't tell it not to do that, is that's a really good thought you had. I can see why you had that. And it kind of, you know, pumps your tires up and then gives you a direction which is what it thinks you want to hear more often than what it believes you actually should be hearing.
I guess, you know, it comes back to that reassurance, that confidence. And we kind of like that someone's telling us that, whether it's the AI or, frankly, you know, if someone, we take a picture of some food that we're having and we post it on a social media site and someone says, that looks nice. I guess that's that reassurance, that confidence, Morris.
It is. And it's strange, because you would think in these times that because we have such a breadth of information and such ability to get things from anywhere in the world, literally within a millisecond, we could find out anything about anyone, anywhere. You think that with all of this smorgasbord of availability, that in fact we would be thinking broader, deeper, more independently. But as you've said in this conversation, we're actually doing the exact opposite. We're choosing to say, well, no, perhaps that smorgasbord is much too much for us. I'm really just going to stay over here at my end of the table and just digest and work, you know, with what I have.
Yeah, I notice it particularly with travellers or people that, you know, going on holiday to different places. You know, they've pursued a particular social media site or some particular source that says you should go and see these things when you're in place X, and they arrive and go through the list of 10 or 20 or 30 things and just take the photo and go. And, you know, that is the opposite of independent thought, isn't it?
It is, and it's a really strange thing. I've worked around travel, tourism, hospitality for a very long time. One of the things that was always well known was that travellers, this is again not everybody, but a great number of them, enough to build an industry around, that a great number of people say that they want to travel and explore the world and will leave their home in Australia and go to Hong Kong or Asia or Vietnam or America or wherever else, seeking new horizons and to be broadened, when in fact a vast majority of them, when they get to that place want similarity from where they left, which is why many of the American chains, I'm talking the hotel chains here, the Hiltons and all the others, because they all have the same formula, including all of my clients, they actually give you a snapshot of home. They actually make the building in Hong Kong look and feel American, have American food, if that's the example we're using. So it doesn't matter where you go and you think that you are experiencing new culture, the vast majority of tourists, in fact, don't want that at all. They want food that's similar to where they've come from, lodgings that are similar, and customs and decor and room fit-outs, all similar to where they've just come from.
Let's look ahead. 10 years from now, Morris, what is the future of independent thought? Will we be literally one mind?
Independent thought's going to be fascinating to look at in 10 years from now, because what's happened and what's happening, and I don't think we realise it because we're the proverbial frog in the boiling water. In other words, the temperature's going up slightly and we can't tell each time, is that we don't have independent thought because we are influenced by this artificial intelligence, meaning that a great number of us have moved from just search, which was Google, you know, find me five things about this wonderful, you know, program that we're listening to actually now hearing advice from artificial intelligence. We've outsourced part of our thinking to a non-intelligent, non-human synthetic being. And I absolutely believe we're going to get more and more down that road of that being normal. So some of my thinking is now going to be influenced by this mechanical device in whatever way, whether it's my phone, whether it's, you know, the work I do or whatever else. So I've said, and I've said often, that we need to make sure that we have wisdom now, human wisdom, and that everything that we do and think and say is based on human wisdom, not artificial intelligence.
How do we ensure that, though?
That's the most difficult thing of all, because it means that we have to be human. We really have to be not lazy in our thoughts. And there are times when it's terrific to be. I mean, I'm the laziest, you know, person there is. At times it's just wonderful to go with the flow because it's obvious and it gives me what I want and I know that that's exactly right. Don't think too much about it. I'm talking about times in life when we really have to think about ethics, have to think about morals, about family, about things which are just not ordinary and everyday. We really do have to say to ourselves, you know, just stop for a second, count to three, think about what I've just been informed about, because that's all it is, informed about with artificial intelligence, and then what's important to me on top of that? Do I totally disregard it, take a little pinch of it and think for myself? You know, what makes sense to me as an individual is really important, and we just have to force ourselves from here on in to continue to be human, continue to be wise.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic, Morris, as we look forward in this area?
For me, the answer is twofold. I'm always optimistic. I always have been, always will be. I think humans are incredibly wonderful, that we're not, you know, we often get painted as a huge group of 8 billion people, we often get painted as being silly and not wise. I think we are. I think the vast, vast majority of us are. But we need to be conscious about it. This can't just be a subconscious thing of going with the flow. We have to continue to stand up for ourselves, to think for ourselves, to use all the tools around us as support mechanisms. Why shouldn't we make our life easier, you know, then as easy as it can be? But again, let's stand up for ourselves. Let's think independently. Let's just not take things at face value where they deserve a little bit more of thought from us.
And maybe we need to take some time out, you know, to separate ourselves from, I mean, we talk about it anyway, our devices, but maybe we have to do that more strongly, you know, to bring back those human values, to communicate with people one-to-one without those electronic interventions.
Yeah, we absolutely do. I read a fascinating article yesterday, which I absolutely agree with and have been thinking about the same thing as many people, and that is that it's quite likely that within the next 10, 20 years that people will forget how to write. And if you think that's a strange thing, many of us already don't remember how to pick up a pen and write. Our handwriting has become so terrible.
It is bad.
And,
yeah.
And I mean that in the sense that when I went to school, you had to handwrite. You know, there wasn't two ways about it. Our kids got a license for a pencil. It was so important. They taught them to write and all that. Now it's not as important because we type. So we've forgotten how to write. And when kids do final year VCE, part of that getting them ready for it is actually putting a pen back in their hand, because the paper they're going to have to write the exam on requires them to do it. So it's the same thing with independent thought. You know, I'm mildly concerned that when it comes to writing down the track, we might also forget how to do it particularly well, because already people are defaulting to the email response that AI or something else gives them. So again, we have to hold on to these things really tightly and say these are human traits that we want to have and maintain.
Fascinating stuff, always fascinating stuff that we talk about on a Tuesday lunchtime, Maurice. You know, thanks for your insight there. And let's see whether we can continue that separation and remain a little bit independent, right?
I have confidence we all will.
Maurice Wieselowski, our business futurist. Maurice, thank you very much for joining us.
A pleasure. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you.